Hey there, and welcome to episode 61 of Let's Talk with Scoggs. This week, finally, Shelby Mary joins us on the show. She is a composer, an author, an artist in every way. She isn't afraid to explore some avenue to express herself, which I admire immensely. And I gush about that a little bit, asking her how her brain works, because it's just, I'm in awe of everything that she does. She is also the creator of our cute little theme song. So Shelby has been a part of the show before it even launched. And I can't thank her enough for making such a cute, happy, jingly intro. It was perfect. Right out the gate, she nailed it. And I'm forever grateful. And I met Shelby through Camp Gritty. And if you listen to most of the episodes, you'll find a link between Camp Gritty and a lot of our guests. I think it's because Gritty just brought together so many different creative, thoughtful, amazing people that I've just wanted to, share their stories with everyone. So that is how I met Shelby. And without any pushback whatsoever, when I asked her, would you be interested in helping me out with making a song for the show? She delivered without question. Shelby has a book she's written, and with that book, she made a soundtrack. She's got new music out now, and it's a collaboration, and we'll get into that. And it's very like Americana kind of folk singer-songwritery. So it's called Begin Again. It's on Spotify along with all of her other releases. This girl is churning out stuff, whether it's writing, composing, making songwriting. She's really photography. She's getting very creative with photography in quarantine. So this is a great episode if you are someone who's feeling maybe a little bit lonely during quarantine, or maybe you're missing that creative spark that you once had. Shelby is so motivating to hear how she's dealing with all of this. And it's always nice to connect with a friend. So my other advice to you is if you're struggling right now, we've been in this for a while, reach out to a friend who maybe you haven't heard from in a while, or maybe you miss. I have felt so good connecting with friends and reaching out to people who I haven't heard from in a while and just seeing how they're doing, what's working for them. And I feel lighter after all of these recent episodes of connecting with my friends. So Shelby is just so impressive. So sit back, relax, and enjoy episode 61 of Let's Talk with Scoggs with Shelby Mary. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am taking it day by day.
I feel like that's everyone's answer right now, is like living the dream. Like,
oh goodness,
we're all just doing our best.
Yeah. It's so nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear you too.
I've been looking at what you've been up to, and you are such a busy creator. I can't keep up with
I'm trying.
How much, like, first of all, you're constantly like releasing little creative things into the world, but the variety of what you work on is just, I'm constantly blown away. And I do want to say up front to everyone listening that this is the creator of our fun little jingle song that starts a podcast. So Shelby gets the show started every week. It's so cute. Thank you so much for helping me with that.
No problem. It's my joy.
Yeah. You seem to just release creativity. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I'm bored. I think that's
the thing.
Just get bored so easily. So I have to be creating all the time, yeah. Or else I just sit here and I can't. I have ADD, so I can't sit still. I can't just do nothing. So I'm constantly creating, trying to fill the void. So
I love it. I was listening to Begin Again, the couple tracks that you put out, like a month ago. Like, when was that? That's really, these are really,
it was May, March 1st.
Okay. So these are new little babies. And
again,
like, just how diverse you are. These are kind of like indie, Americana sort of sounding. And then the other stuff that you had done, I remember at Gritty, you played like a super pop, like dance fun song. And then you have like Where the Light is kind of a, you know, a different vibe. So how do you have all of these different personas in your brain? I don't understand.
So I, most artists like stick with one sound and I get really bored with that. So yeah. I try to reinvent the wheel as much as I can. For Begin Again, I did that with my friend Trey Dexter.
Yeah.
And he already has his sound kind of set. He's very like Americana, like acoustic.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll go with that. We'll do that. So I was actually producing the record for him and we ended up co-writing and co-producing the whole thing together. So I was like, why don't we just put it out under both of our names? And so that's what we did. We just kind of did that out of boredom. So
I love it. You should be bored all the time. Cause
I am bored all the time.
I really love the song. I Like You.
Yes. That song.
It's
so cute. The record kind of, there's four songs and it starts out with, I don't really like myself. And by the time you get to the end, it's, I really like myself as much as you like me.
Mm.
So it's this journey of like self-love and reflection.
Mm. Oh boy. We're all doing, I feel like I do that every couple of years. I have to like figure myself out again and then love myself again.
Yes.
It's so weird.
Yes. So that's kind of what the record is about.
I love that. It's so relatable. And I like that it's not just all within one song you've figured it all out. That it does take, you know, it takes time.
It takes a minute.
Yeah,
it takes a second. Time. Yeah.
I love it.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I hope so. Because there's a lot going on, especially these days.
I know.
I love you singing with Trey. Like, it just seems so natural. I don't know. Like, how did you meet him? How did you guys, I know that you were working with him already, but I want to know everything because it just sounds so magical.
Oh, thank you. So he's one of my best friends. Like, we hang out all the time and he works till like noon and then has the rest of the day off because he's a barista. He's like the best barista that I know ever. He knows the chemical composition, like the timing. He's a genius at coffee.
Yeah.
So he would come over and we would just hang out. And we started writing these songs out of boredom. Again, boredom.
Mm.
And he was like, why don't we just like record some stuff? And I was like, sure, because I was just coming off of a record. I just finished my new record, Dark Ages, that comes out May 15th. And I was kind of like, I still had those gears turning. I was like, I still want to write more music and I still want to create, but I want to do something different than what I've done. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And we just sat down and had fun and just made it about the joy of it. And that's kind of why it turned out the way that it did.
Yeah. And just because I'm not going to dissect things properly, but just the artwork, it's got these little hands on it, what looks like a mirror, and the left hand is touching the other left hand, but the right hand is interlaced with the other hand. And I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, that was Trey's idea.
Yeah, I was looking at it and I kind of brushed over it and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I looked at it more. I'm like, no, two of those hands are interlaced where the other ones are a reflection, I guess. But the other one is like reaching out into the other hand. And I was like,
So it was very interesting how we did that. So we took a frame and I laid on my floor and interlaced my two fingers together and put my hands up and we took a picture. And then I laid the other way and I put my hands, palms together and took another picture and he cropped them together so that it looks like it's a mirror.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Just every little thing you thought of. And just so that, you know, if anyone isn't super familiar with Shelby and what she's worked on and everything, not only is she currently always making music, but she wrote a book and made a soundtrack for the book. So when I say that she's creating stuff constantly, it's not like I'm not speaking in exaggeration. She's just always creating stuff. And I don't live in that brain at all. So I think I'm always blown away. Like you and Vail. Vail's always making stuff. And I'm like, how are you doing that? I just don't live in that brain. And I wish I did. I really do. Because it looks...
You're being creative right now.
Well, okay. You know what, Shelby? You're very nice. but I just... How do you keep them sorted? Like, you must get ideas constantly. Like, how do you stay focused on one thing when it seems like your capacity could be working on, like, 5 or 6 projects at once? So how do you stay kind of focused on one thing? Or do you not? Do you kind of keep it flow? Like, do you just flow with stuff? How does that work?
Yeah, I don't stay focused on one thing. I'm constantly doing like 5 or 6 things at the same time. So if I get bored or stuck on one, I just shift to the other. Mm. I think like people have this misconception that like creatives are just like, they sit down and do it. Like I'll write 100 bad songs to get an album. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's just about continuously pushing to get that gem. And it doesn't always, you know, you don't always have the focus to do it. You don't always have the drive to do it. Hmm. So you just switch to something else and come back to it. And it's no big deal. Yeah. So that's kind of how I work. Hmm. I try to keep as many creative things going as possible so that I can just hop from one to the other. And that's kind of how my brain works anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully that, you know, relieves some people that think, oh no, like I work this way and other people, everybody works that way. I feel like.
Yeah. So what else besides, so you said you have another album that's coming out.
Yes, it's called Dark Ages.
Dark Ages is coming out soon. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's done. Joe McFadden mixed it. He's one of my oldest friends. And I'm really proud of it. I had a terrible relationship last year. It's actually what Tiger Heart was written about.
Oh, okay.
The person that Tiger Heart was written about. And that all went super south, super quick. But that album was more about like the your heart coming alive when you have that crush on someone and you really like someone. Mm-hmm. And then this album is about when that goes south.
Oh.
And so they kind of tie together in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Tiger Heart was last year, right?
Yes, September.
Right. And that one, if I remember correctly, it's like a pretty long album. Like you don't just put out
13.
Like, Jesus. I don't know how you do it.
I work a lot. I just work very fast.
I don't know how you do it. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Okay, so that's going to be coming out in, did you say May?
May 15th.
May 15th. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait. Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
And I just released a music video for one of the songs from it.
Oh.
So, you can. It's for the song Love. It's on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So, you can check that out. I actually shot it at home. We had to cancel all of our shoots because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, I was like, I'm just going to do this with my iPhone and, like, just make something. And that's what I did. So, I think it turned out good. So...
You know, it's funny because they keep saying, you know, to keep us all in high spirits, like, yada yada isn't canceled. Like, just because you have to stay home, that doesn't mean you can't experience things that still bring you joy. So in this case, creativity is not canceled at all. So have you found
it? I feel like it's...
No, keep going.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I feel like... because I have to stay home, that I'm being more creative.
Yeah.
And I'm finding ways to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like yesterday I wrote and recorded a song with my roommate called Breadcrumbs, and I'm actually going to put a video out for next week. I'm just going to shoot it here in my house. I haven't figured it out yet, but we'll get there. So yeah, like just, I feel like everyone's being more creative because we have this time.
Right.
And because everyone's on their phones and because everyone is looking for content.
Yeah.
It's just, there is opportunity in chaos, I believe.
Yeah. It's interesting too, when you're given limitations more than you're given ways to expand on an idea. So instead of having 1,000 ways you could do something, you're kind of limited in what you can do and what creativity comes from limiting your resources. So you're stuck inside for the most part. You can't get, you know, a large group of people together. So you have to use limited resources, limited people to make something. And that's a challenge that's different than having, you know, as many ideas as you could with as many resources and people and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, for example, my friend St. Mesa, he had people video clips of what they were doing in quarantine. And he put a music video together with it. And I thought that was genius. It's like there is opportunity in all of this chaos right now for all of us to creatively work together. And I feel like in the last week, I've done more creatively with people remotely than I have all year.
Oh, that's great. Really making lemonade out of lemons.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And are you in Nashville?
I am.
You're in Nashville. So how is Nashville as a city doing? I know that they had that tornado and then this COVID thing hit. So how is Nashville as a city? How are you guys doing?
Everyone's struggling, to be honest. You know, the soda parlor was, I'm very dear friends with the people that own the soda parlor, and it was completely demolished. I mean, they've already knocked it down. And it's just like these insurance companies are saying, well, you lost, you know, your money to COVID already, so we shouldn't have to pay you losses, and they're having trouble with it. And everyone is still struggling. There are people without homes. There are, you know, me and my church, we went up to North Nashville and really saw the devastation. And there are people that, you know, that I talked to and that didn't have a home anymore. It was just the bare floor and that was it. So I feel like this is just a struggle right now for everyone, especially on top of the tornadoes that hit us.
Right. Ugh. It's weather is, I don't know that when that, when I saw that the next day, it's really shocking when it's a hurricane, a tornado, in California, we have a lot of wildfires and it's really hard to see how it affects so many people. And then on top of that, having this pandemic, it's like unreal. It's like something you would write in a science fiction book. Like it's just,
I know it is unreal. And, I think a lot of people are getting creative with it, and finding ways to cope and to make things work. I certainly am.
That's
so
great.
Thankfully I was okay. I mean, and the people that I know, everyone that I know was okay. So
good.
Thank goodness.
Okay. That's good. And where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Nashville?
I grew up in Gallipolis, Ohio. Yes,
oh.
I said that correctly. It is Gallipolis, Ohio.
That's a real place.
It's a real place. It means City of the Gulls. And it's a little river town nestled in southeastern Ohio. It's right on the West Virginia and Kentucky border.
Wow.
And I grew up mudding and running around barefoot and riding horses. And
that sounds fun. I would love to ride a horse right now. That
yeah.
Sounds great. So when did you start, when did you know that you were creative? Like, were you a little kid that was just special and, you know, outward with your emotions? Or, like, when did you start to find art as, you know, like your way to express yourself?
So I'm a very emotionally charged person, I feel like. I'm a very, like, I'm an empath. Like, I feel everything. So even as a kid, I was very, like, in my feelings. And, in my feels. And, I remember being 8, like writing songs about purple crayons. And, I remember when I was 10, I tried to write a book. Every day that I came home from school, I would write another chapter until my notebook was full. And I was just always creative. Like that was my outlet and it's always been that way. I feel like when you're born, you are who you are. And I just am who I am, you know.
Yeah.
I'm an empath, so I feel everything. And thankfully, I found a career and an outlet to use that creatively. So
yeah. And at this point, if we include that first book you wrote as a child,
Second Planet would be my second, wouldn't it?
Yes, that'd be your second book. Do you have ideas for more? Like, where do you want to take your writing talent?
So I'm actually working. I can't speak. I'm working on book 2 right now. I'm planning 3 books.
for my Second Planet series. I just started on book two.
Wow.
And we actually are pitching the first book as a TV series. So I've been working on that a lot.
Oh, cool.
Me and my partner, Alex. Yeah.
So what don't you do?
I do everything.
She does everything. She does cool photo shoots. She makes cool videos.
I just keep busy.
She writes books. She writes songs. She like collaborates with other people. She's just doing it all.
I love people and I love working with other people and that's my joy.
Yeah.
So I just try to do it as much as possible.
And what made you decide that for this period in your life, you wanted to live in Nashville? Like what was it about Nashville?
So I moved to Nashville 3 years ago, about 3.5 years ago, to actually work for Olin Rogers, who owns the Soda Parlor and Star Cadet. Mm-hmm. And so I worked in the print shop there. I was an assistant manager. And so I printed t-shirts. That's what I did when I moved to Nashville.
Nice.
And at the exact same time, I swear it wasn't even a month later, his show Final Space got picked up on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want you to do the music with Jake Sidwell. And I was like, absolutely. So, that's what I've been doing for 3 years now.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, I just lucked. I got super, super lucky, to be honest.
I like to think that when those opportunities present themselves, it's because prior to that moment, you have honed your skill. I mean, if you're a kid running home writing chapters of your book, I can't even imagine what else you were so disciplined in and excited to explore that all those hours added up to that moment presenting itself to you and you being completely ready and open and experienced, and then boom, there you go.
Yeah, I'll tell this story because maybe it'll inspire someone. I had a lot of heartbreak and a lot of turmoil leading up to that working. That wasn't the first big job that I was ever offered. I actually worked on the Maze Runner series.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I wrote a few songs for that. And they never got used. There was a lot of chaos behind the scenes happening with paperwork.
Mm.
And the songs never got used. They were going to be put in the credits. A lot of people don't know that. So When the Darkness Comes was actually going to be in the credits of the first Maze Runner film. And I have the recording. Like, I have it on my computer. And then that failed. That didn't work out. And then I worked on the Divergent films. I worked on Allegiant Part 1. The song that I wrote, This Is Our War, was actually written for that film.
Hmm.
And it came down to me and Yancey, and they picked Yancey.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was broke. I had no car. I sold my car to pay for computer, and I was living with my mom at the time.
Hmm.
And that opportunity fell through, and I was completely devastated. And then it was a few months later, my friend Jake Sidwell, who's my co-composer on the show, was like, move to Nashville. Like, we'll give you a job. Like, I know you're really struggling right now. You know, this big thing fell through. And then Final Space happened. So
there's
a long story leading up to things working out. And I feel like that's the part people don't get to see.
100% agree. It takes a lot of, it didn't work out to find the what worked out. And I love that part of that is somebody reaching out to you and validating, like, you're very talented. Come, I want you. Come work for me. Come work with me. Come collaborate with me. Because I feel like networking and sharing what you want with people and what you are passionate about helps so much when you're starting to get your footing in your career, whatever it is. Because collaboration is, oh my gosh. It's so important. And it's very
key.
Fulfilling.
It is key.
Yeah.
It's all about your relationships with people. And I feel like it's about not being a jerk. Be
yes.
a good person
uh-huh.
and good things will come to you.
Yeah.
So that was one of those situations.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent lesson to learn wherever you are in your life. 100%.
It doesn't matter how good you are. If you're a jerk, no one's going to want to work with you. Yeah, you got to be a good person.
Yeah. Shelby, would you like to play Overshare? It is a little game we play here on the podcast. I've got slips of paper, and they have like little conversation starter questions. Some are very silly. Some are more meaningful. And I'm going to pull out three. And you and I both have to answer the question. And the idea is that we overshare about these things. So if you're in your feelings, I'm in my feelings, we're going to be great at this. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll read them all to you. And then you can tell me which one makes you feel some type of way. Or maybe they all do, or maybe none of them do. So we'll see how it goes. Okay. If you could bring back one TV show that was canceled, what would you bring back? That's question number one.
Invader Zim. And I'm just going to answer that one right off the bat.
What is that? What is that?
Invader Zim is a cartoon from the 90s that I am obsessed with. I've memorized it forwards and backwards. If you watch it with me, you're going to be so annoyed because I can quote it literally word for word. It's one of my favorite cartoons of all time. And I would bring that back in a heartbeat. Sorry, I didn't mean to answer it before you got through the question.
I love that you had it.
I was ready. Yeah. I had it on the ready.
So was it on like Cartoon Network, or where did you watch it?
I think it was Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon?
I believe.
Did it get it? I've noticed, because I got Disney Plus, and I've revisited some cartoons from my childhood. And I realized that there weren't very many seasons of these shows, but there were like 25 episodes per season. Like, they're just, the Disney ones at least were like DuckTales. It's like episode 30 of season one. I was like, oh my gosh, how did they do this?
I don't know.
How did
we do 13? We did 13 episodes for Final Space season two. And I was like, I don't think I could do another one. Like, this is so hard. I'm so burnt out.
Did your show that you want to bring back have a resolution, or did it not get its proper time in the sun?
It did not get it. It got canceled. Ugh. And then it became a cult classic. It became very, very, very popular, like in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they even had a Netflix movie come out last year about it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was called Enter the Florpus. I said that correctly. I did not. You heard that right. But yeah, so it's like, it's my favorite cartoon of all time by far.
Well, I've got a lot of time on my hands at the moment. So maybe I'll check it out.
Yes, Invader Zim.
So there's a TV show that, if I could bring back one from my childhood from Nickelodeon, since you set the precedent there, I used to really love Salute Your Shorts. It wasn't a cartoon. It was a live-action show about kids living at a summer camp, and hijinks ensued. It was just a funny little show, and I would love to see all these people grown up, because they're probably my age, and I would love to see what, like, make them go back to camp and see what life is like.
What would happen?
They're all grown. And I mean, who am I to say anything about camp? I go to summer camp every summer, so, you know, it's lots of fun. But yeah, Salute Your Shorts was, and they had a really cool theme song, Camp Anawana. And you heard me right, Camp Anawana. there's like the theme song was really fun and catchy. It was just great. It was probably aired on Nickelodeon like in the summers, and I would just sit in front of the TV and just binge watch it without realizing that's what I was doing, because it just aired on TV.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. The next one is, have your parents influenced what goals you have?
They have. My mom actually has worked in radio since I was born.
Oh, cool.
So I grew up for about 8 years. I worked in radio. I can still do the call. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Sunny WNTO Racing Gallup Police Point Pleasant. Sunny 93.
She really does it all, guys.
So, yeah, that's what I did. She was a huge influence on me with music. We grew up listening to classic rock. She worked at a classic rock radio station. So we listened to Journey and Styx and REO Speedwagon. And so she got me into music. And she actually bought me my piano. She bought me my first guitar. Like, she was a huge influence on me. So
I love that. It's always nice when parents support creative careers, because it's probably hard for some, but it seems like she was in that space. So, I mean,
yeah, I don't know where I would be without her support. So,
yeah, I love that. Go mom.
Go mom.
Parents influence my goals. You know, I don't know how to answer this. My folks are incredibly supportive. They're lovely. Influenced my goals. Influenced them. I mean, they've encouraged me, but I don't know if they've had a big... My mom wanted to be an actress. She wanted to be on Broadway. And she lived in New York for a little bit after she graduated college, but decided it really wasn't for her. And then moved to Idaho from New York and worked in, like a hotel as like a front desk, like check-in. She's very personable. We're both, you know, pretty similar in our personalities of being very friendly and, hi, how are you? And she would always talk about it, and she had vocal node issues, so she couldn't really sing anymore. She had she couldn't really keep up with her dreams, I guess, because of that. But I never wanted to be on Broadway as a kid, but I loved music, and my parents were always playing music. My dad was really into like Led Zeppelin and Dire Straits, and
yes,
they played. I mean, Fleetwood Mac is like, if I had to pick a quintessential band of my childhood, it's definitely Fleetwood Mac because of them. And so there was always music around, and I never wanted to perform really or write music, but I wanted to work in it because I wanted to empower it and share it and help it because I loved it so much. So I guess in that sense, they influenced me because there was always music around. And my dad's record collection, oh my gosh, has just so many albums. And I would sneak down into the basement. And because they're big albums, when you're little and you hold them in your hands, they feel ginormous. And I would look at these album covers. And they were, I mean, The Who, there's like a guy peeing on a wall on the cover. Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell, like the animation is like this big bat on a motorcycle breaking through the earth. Like, and it was just so weird and fascinating, like all the, you know, that era, like all that music and album artwork was so important. And
it was such
a big format. Yeah. I was just like, what is this stuff? And Rumors is an interesting album cover. Actually, all the Fleetwood Mac stuff is really weird. So I guess just my appreciation for all the little aspects of music, it wasn't just casual that like, oh, it's a fun song. I would read the liner notes, and I got really into all the little, you know, pieces of it. And I started collecting albums, and I actually started with stuff that they had. So I have some of the records that they have in their collection because it reminded me of them. So
that's amazing.
This is overshare.
No. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Just really overshared on that one. So yes, I think they have influenced my goals in that they exposed me to a lot of stuff where I appreciated all the little parts of it. And, you know, then I wanted to work within that industry and empower those things to exist and spread and share, be shared. So yeah. Yes, they have. Whew. All right. The third one is, oh, this one's interesting. What are you looking forward to this week?
This week?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to make a video for my song Breadcrumbs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm going to shoot it here in my house with my phone and just see how it looks. So I'm looking forward to that. I have two housemates with me and we're doing a bonfire later tonight. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's fun. Do you guys like sing songs and make marshmallows? And
we do. Last night we did a bonfire and Anthony brought out his speaker and we were playing like 90s, like we were playing Celine Dion, like My Heart Will Go On, and like Switchfoot, and we were dancing in the yard. It was great.
See, your quarantine sounds lots of fun.
We have a house with three musicians and I have a studio here in my living room. You know, we get creative, so it's been fun. Like I said, I've been more creative. I feel like I've been more collaborative than ever with people because of quarantine. So yeah,
that's great. I'm trying to think. I was going to make red beans and rice.
That's great. That's a great thing to look forward to.
I've never made it from scratch, so it doesn't seem that it's not really not that difficult. But I was able to get all of the ingredients, which that alone was very exciting. But I was able to get everything.
That is impressive. Wow.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm mostly looking forward to eating it more than making it. I've been trying to just make new foods. Since, you know, I've got some extra time on my hands, make some yummy stuff from scratch. So I've been doing a lot of cooking and
I made bibimbap the other day.
What is that?
So it's a Korean dish with bulgogi, which is marinated strip steak.
Mm.
And there's like fresh vegetables and rice. It's really delicious.
Ooh, I will add that to the list. That sounds delightful.
Yeah. Put a fried egg on it. Ooh.
Ooh, wait, maybe I have seen that. I think I've seen that. I mean, I see fried eggs on a lot of Korean food, but I feel like Trader Joe's has a cheater version of that in the frozen food section.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to add that to my list. Okay.
All right, bulgogi.
Well, that was overshare. You did excellent.
I love overshare. That was wonderful.
Yeah, I love it too. So the last little bit of the show is always advice. So asking for a friend, people writing questions, and, you know, we kind of talk about it and try to give these people advice as if they were our dearest friend and help them out. Given the situation of life right now, I have been asking everybody the same question. what advice do you, Shelby, have for anyone who is not having a good time in quarantine, self-isolation, social distancing, or anyone that's having a little anxiety at the moment or fear? You know, you're handling it beautifully. You're creating, you're collaborating. But what would you suggest for someone who's not coping as well with what's going on?
I would say reach out to people that you haven't reached out to in a while. Mm. I've been doing that. I've been calling everyone that I haven't talked to in a while. I feel like that's a great thing to do. Another great thing to do is to do something that you normally wouldn't do. So like a puzzle, or maybe you haven't played with Play-Doh in a while. I don't know. When's the last time anyone played with Play-Doh? or move your furniture around, paint your walls, you know, do something that you normally wouldn't have the time to do.
Mm. That sounds nice.
That would be my best advice.
Yeah. When is the last time I played with Play-Doh?
I don't know. I think I played with Play-Doh with my nephews last year.
Yeah.
But that's still too long ago. Like, I feel like I should have Play-Doh on hand at all times.
I think there's probably a DIY recipe where you can make Play-Doh.
I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah. I feel like you can make clay at home I think in elementary school we used to make clay with salt. I know salt.
Yeah.
Flour, something. But yeah, I think if you can try your best to limit the amount of news you watch, like stay informed, know what's going on, but don't overwhelm yourself with what's happening.
Limit phone time.
Oh, limit phone time. Add that to the list. Definitely.
Yeah, like when's the last, I haven't read a book in a while. I should probably read a book. You know, just things that we don't usually make time for. I feel like now is the time to do that.
Yeah.
If you haven't done yoga in a while, maybe, you know, whip out the mat and do some yoga. Or I rearranged my house.
I'm curious about that. Rearranging furniture. I haven't heard that one yet. So what did you do? What did you, like, feng shui
the
place?
Yes, I feng shui'd my place. And I'm, like, I'm Amazoning wallpaper to myself, like the stick-on wallpaper, and I'm going to redo my bedroom.
Fun.
And just, like, tidying up, you know, organizing my books,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that we don't usually make time for because we don't feel like it's important.
Right. Got a lot of time now. Do you have any books that you would recommend to anyone who's, you know, having a hard time? Maybe there's some story that takes you completely out of the realm of what we're dealing with that might give you distraction or a book that might give you comfort? Or do you have any recommendations?
I do. My favorite book, I actually have the cover tattooed on my arm. It's called We Are the Ants by Sean David Hutchinson. Very twisted book. I'll give you a short premise of it. So you're following a boy who gets abducted by aliens, and they give him the option to choose a button. The world will not end in 144 days. But his life is terrible, and he doesn't – in those 144 days, he never pushes the button. So it's him coming to terms with wanting to save the world and wanting to save his life and wanting things to be better. So that's – it's my favorite book. I've read it four times. Like I said, I literally have it tattooed on my arm, so – that's a great book to read. Yeah. We Are the Ants.
We Are the Ants. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a great book.
I need to get into the book game a little deeper. I've got a list of so many books just in the past week that I've seen other friends reading or that have popped up, you know, in various places that I've made like a little list of. And it's hard to know where to start. But sometimes when I'm overwhelmed, and this is... I don't know what this says about me as a person. I love listening to audiobooks read by the author or in term like sorry, I'm messing this up. Like biographies or autobiographies read by the person. So like Tina Fey reading me Bossy Pants has been because it makes it feel like you're not alone, like there's somebody there. And it's a story about like just someone's actual, you know, life, and it's you know, low stakes for me. I don't get too worked up. And she's funny. And she's, it's like I'm hanging out with Tina Fey for a little bit. I don't know.
Wow. I should do that for Second Planet with my boredom. I should do an audiobook.
Girl. And you could put that music with it.
Yes.
I think
this is a good idea. This is a great idea.
I think I would love to hear you read me your book. I don't know why I just love.
Yes.
I mean, in LA, you're in traffic a lot. So that's why I kind of got into audiobooks because I wanted to read books more, and you're just in your car so often. And I loved it. Like, I really got excited when it was the author reading me the book, not just, you know, someone they hired to read the book. For some reason, it just, you know, like, you wrote it, so you know how to deliver it, I guess. And it just feels comforting that, like, this is your story, and you're telling me your story.
Aww.
So I think that's...
Yeah, you know, I'll have to do that. That's something that I've gotten requests for quite a lot, but it's just so much work that I'm overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
I mean, to read an entire book out loud and then record it is a lot of work, but but I've got the time, so maybe I can do that.
She's got the time. She's got the equipment. You got the songs.
Good to go.
You even got music to go with it. Do you think you'll do that again? You'll make music to go with more stories?
Absolutely. Like that's my entire, that's what brings me joy, is to do soundtracks. So any opportunity that I have to do that, I will do it. So
do you have any like favorite soundtracks from TV shows or movies or anything that you would recommend to anyone that wants to kind of dive into that a little bit?
So I love Interstellar. I feel like everyone loves the Interstellar soundtrack, but my favorite is actually from The Village. The Gravel Road is one of my favorite songs ever. The Village soundtrack is wonderful. There's a game called Night in the Woods that has a really fantastic, like, synthy, poppy soundtrack that I have on vinyl that I play all the time. Baby Driver is another really fantastic soundtrack.
Yeah.
I play that all the time. So those are some of my favorites.
Even Drive, the movie Drive, the Ryan Gosling one. That's a really cool one. I used to listen to that when I would run.
I listen to Interstellar. It's like, it's really intense.
Yeah.
So like,
it creates a
you
vibe.
You can really, yes.
Yeah, it's really fun. Oh, goodness. Okay, Miss Shelby. Well, this was lovely. It was so nice to hear your voice and what you're working on. And I mean, honestly, is there one place that anyone can go to just get all of it? Like, where would you recommend folks go to just deep dive? on all of your stuff?
So go to Spotify. I'm actually working on a website so that I can have everything in one spot because I do so much.
Yeah.
But go to my YouTube at Shelby Mary or Spotify. That's where you'll find everything. And I just started a Patreon too. I'm still kind of like trying to figure that out. But I've been putting like B-side songs that haven't been released before on there.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Such a good example of handling this quarantine in such a positive, productive way. I am really glad we got a chance
trying.
To talk. Yeah. I think everything happens for a reason, and we've been trying to work this out, and this opportunity landed. And I think it's going to be very encouraging for folks to hear, you know, someone that's, you know, taking it day by day, but also trying to make the most of it. So thank you so much for chatting. I'm glad to hear all the creativity that's coming out of this for you.
No, thank you for having me. This has been such a joy.
And thank you for our theme song. Can't thank you enough.
Yes, of course. This is one of my favorite things that I've done. It's just like real bubbly and like
it's cute,
you know.
I love it. Yes, I love it so much. It's perfect. It's perfect. So thank you for what you bring to the show every episode without you even realizing it.
Without even, being on there. Yeah.
But I'm glad that we got a chance
awesome.
To hear from you, and have a great day. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Yes. All right. Sounds good.